back. This is Mark Steiner.
And Anthony McCarthy.
And we are here with Chef Adam Pierce, executive chef at Great Sage Restaurant in Clarksville, a vegan restaurant. Chef Mac, owner of Chef Mac's and All the Blues in Hamilton, joining us by phone. And Donovan Murphy, owner of Island Cuisine. Q-U-I-Z-I-N-E.
Yes.
410-319-8888. Before we come back to your questions that you want to, let's go to the phones. Mm-hmm. And Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Lisa.
To Anthony, I want to say my all-time favorite meat is pork, but I have to give props to Great Sage. You have to get out there.
Thank you.
And the best introduction during the summer, I know we're talking about Thanksgiving, but during the summer they have, I don't know if you do it next summer, every Tuesday they have a chef's lasagna. So that's the best introduction to that food. But I go there any day of the week, and it's always good. This guy understands flavors. It's just great food, and I love Island Cuisine as well. But I just had to call in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. So there you go, man.
That's right. I'm looking forward to this, expanding my mind.
And your palate.
And my palate. Yeah. And I love going in restaurants. I get in trouble because I take pictures of the food before I eat it. I post them on Facebook, and I let people know. I let people know if it's good or bad or mediocre. And we take into account everything from the presentation to the ambiance of the restaurant, the service, all of that. I love food. And I just have to be more healthy and conscious as I eat.
You do that at McDonald's too?
No.
Just messing with you. I'm just teasing you.
But I did ask in the break, and I want us to talk about the traditional dishes that can be prepared in not such a traditional way, like mac and cheese and baking bread and pastries and things like that, desserts. But I asked them about passion and why they are chefs and the food. I want them to share some of that about their love of food. And I think you have to love food if you're going to be preparing it for people.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Let's go, Chef Donovan.
Yes, if there's no love for the food, you're going to prepare it with mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to lose customers, you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose everybody who wants your food. So you got to be patient, because if it takes 5 minutes to prepare, you don't want to think
something's wrong.
Yes, definitely. But you have to definitely have that genuine love for whatever you're cooking, and whatever the recipe is and the duration to make for perfection, that's what you have to go by if you want to be a good chef.
Chef Mac?
You know, my passion for food is just tremendous. My father was an executive chef, so I basically grew up in the whole tradition of cooking, but like I tell the people that work with me, you've got to have love for this thing, especially being a chef, because it takes so much time. I mean, it's just like being an artist. Mm-hmm. I think we are, and I've got to take your time. I mean, it's got to look good. It's got to smell good. It's got to taste good. I mean, the presentation has to be there. So, I mean, my love for it is just crazy, because I never thought I would ever do this for a living, because this just was one of the things that I did not want to do, because I was made to do it as a kid. I'm serious. I carved prime rib for the first 5 years of my career. But it was, you have to love this. And my passion for it, my wife will tell you that I work 24 hours a day doing this job, without getting paid. And that's really stupid. But the passion, it just drives me, for food. And I love food. I love food. And I think the most important thing about it is, inviting people into the restaurant like it's your home. Because you wouldn't bring anyone to your home and serve them something crazy, tastes good, because you don't want people leaving and say, God, did you taste that? Now, everybody's not going to love your food.
Right.
But, I mean, the passion is there.
Adam, you've been cooking for a while.
Yeah. Been going for roughly 14 years. I've been going for 14 years, and wouldn't trade it for anything. I love every day I get to go to work. I mean, I look forward to it. It's just really magical to be able to go to work and create and be happy and basically wow people and basically receive feedback from people, and just they just keep coming back. Taste the food that we make every day.
size.
I got to try check out. Actually, I've not been. I've had some of the food, but I've never been to definitely. These restaurants. I went mm-hmm. to make our business the next month to come to each one of these restaurants.
Oh, definitely. Today I had a catering for the state police, and they're like, Donovan, I tried your food so many times. I don't need to come to your restaurant. And I was like, I understand, but this is, could you just come in and try some different things? And they were like, I said, I would like a couple of you guys to come in and experience it, because I believe that it's not the food that you eat, it's the taste that's left in your mouth. So you can
I like that.
You can get whatever food you want. If the preparation and everything, it's not just the taste that wow you. It's also the presentation and the time they put into making the food look good. When they left there, they came with a little budget. I don't know where they got the money from, but they wanted everything I had.
Let me go back to the phones here, and let me just share this on the way to the phones. Marsha Bell on Facebook pasted this cartoon. I'll describe it to you. It's two turkeys talking to one another, and one turkey has a suitcase in his hand walking away. One turkey said to the other turkey, "Be reasonable, Frank. If you wanted us dead, why would you feed us so much?" And the other turkey said, "Hey, believe what you want to believe. I'm out of here."
I love it.
410-319-8888. Mr. Everett Hickson, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. How y'all doing?
Hey, very well. Everett. Welcome.
Wonderful, wonderful. I was actually listening to the last, I guess, hour perhaps. I was actually eating myself, cleaning up, getting ready for Thanksgiving celebration myself. And I was overhearing the collard greens, and as well as prior to that, we were speaking of the way to make our candied yams or sweet potatoes or things of that nature.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like myself personally to do a blend. I like to do a blend of the yam as well as the sweet potato. As we know, the yam is already naturally much sweeter. And myself, what I like to do is just cut the ends of the sweet potato off, leaving the skin on, just rubbing them down with olive oil, lightly baking them with a bit of cinnamon on top and a little bit of maple syrup in the bottom of that bake pan. I just let them go directly like that. I put a bit of butter in there. I let the butter get soft. What I do is I take them out of that bake pan and put them into a Vitamix or just your regular blender and make a sweet potato souffle. That is my new traditional way of doing yams or sweet potatoes. I've done the one with pineapples and the traditional ways through time, but through time has come by. People love a sweet potato souffle these days. So what I do is I blend those up, I put them in a Vitamix, I pour it out once, and they're still tough enough. You know, they still have a lot of grain to them. They don't cook off any color, discoloration. They just toast a little bit, and they get soft.
Mm-hmm.
Blend them up, set them into a bake pan, more like a corn, cornware. I put that on there, that nature. Then what I do is I take a brown cinnamon and a bit of cinnamon, brown sugar, I'm sorry, and cinnamon, sprinkle it over top, and bake it lightly. Now, sometimes, on occasion, we do the marshmallow type, and I know it's not that good for you. But you take a little marshmallow, you blend it up with some milk, that's a little hint, even a quarter of butter,
and
put it on top, and all you do is you bake it so that it just begins to brown, and you pull it out. Right when it's time for dinner to be served, right, and that turkey's there, I'm telling you, heads roll.
Wow. So,
heads certainly do roll.
Hold on, Mr. Hicks, we have other callers coming in, too, so we got to get the other callers back to our chefs. Yeah. But you wanted to give us a quick sense of your greens.
Quick greens. It's including kale, curly green, mustard green, and what I like to blend in there, here and again, is Swiss chard. That's one of my favorite green vegetables, because texture goes to spinach, or it could be a green. It will be tough as green. Nothing but onion, garlic, Celtic sea salt, olive oil, maybe a quarter of water. I do a large crab pot. Mm-hmm. Put it in that, wait until they come bright green, and then once they're done, I dice up a quarter cup of spicy one habanero and one Thai spice pepper.
Wow.
Leave that in that, and it, because you have so many greens, it's a whole pot of it, it seasoned everything perfectly.
Wow, he gave us a lot to think about. Yeah. It sounds good. I love this idea of you using that habanero. But you got to be careful. You really
are you going to mess
up that. Mark, what were we talking about right before?
You wanted to talk about certain recipes.
Yes, I wanted
you
to.
You wanted to talk about, and there's no picture on the web here, by the way. Somebody's put a picture on the web of a turkey with a big sunrise egg saying, eat ham. So anyway.
But what I want to get all of you to tell us about mac and cheese, which are macaroni and cheese, or cheese and macaroni, as my godmother Helen Dale calls it, because there's a lot of cheese in there. But how do you spice that up? How do you serve a great, great mac and cheese dish?
Oh, my. This is actually the owner's favorite. They're probably stoked that we're going to talk about this. But basically, we start off making like a vegan cheese sauce. Basically, the company Daiya makes like cheddar cheese shreds, and it tastes all right. But we whisk that into like hot soy milk, and it becomes like a nice cheese sauce. And then we get a pan searing hot, sear off cauliflower, pepperoncini, sun-dried tomatoes, spinach, cannellini beans, garlic, fresh basil. Throw rigatoni in there, and then toss that all together, salt, pepper, and then hit it with the cheese sauce. And then we put that into a casserole dish. And then top it off with breadcrumbs, and we bake it until it basically boils over.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah. What's the cheese made of?
What's the cheese made up again?
It's basically like tapioca.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Chef Mac?
I do the traditional macaroni and cheese. I use whole milk. I use egg, salt and pepper, a mixture of cheddar cheese and provolone. And I usually cook mine my pasta, and I take and strain it, all the hot water off, and then I usually try to make it in the pot. Add my milk egg mixture with the salt and pepper, stir it up. Add my cheese sauce with the flame low, stir everything up until it begins to melt, and then I put it into my pan. Put a layer of cheese, layer of pasta, layer of cheese, layer of pasta. And on the top, just put all the cheese, and I wrap it. And I don't bake my macaroni and cheese, actually. I put it in a steam bath. And that's the way we complete the
steam bath.
Steam bath?
Yeah.
Like sous vide?
Yeah.
I've got to have this. I'm gonna come and get this.
It's amazing. If you ask anyone about it, we do a Tuesday market. We sell like four pans.
Really? Well, Chef Mac, one of the things, and I want to get Chef Donovan's recipe as well. But Chef Mac, I have a lot of friends who frequent your restaurant a lot. And they say one of the things they love about it is that you seem to love to watch people eat your food.
Yeah.
And that you interact with them, and that that's one of the things they love about coming and interacting with you is that you really seem to love watching people eat what you and your team has prepared.
Yes, I think that's the most important thing. That shows the love that you have for the food. I mean, I like to go and sit at the table and say, hey,
yeah.
I was this, and, you know, we're a BYOB establishment, so sometimes they'll give me a little drink, and then we'll sit there forever talking about the food.
I love that.
It's a real homie-type place, but the macaroni and cheese is to die for, I guarantee it.
I'm going to get some. Donovan, Chef Donovan?
Well, I won't even touch the mac and cheese.
Okay.
My chef, name is Garfield, you know, the head chef, one of the other guys' name is Dino Barrett. These guys, when it comes down to making mac and cheese, I don't even go.
That's right. You stay out of the way.
Because they have different ways. They use four different types of cheese that they use to make it. And the only difference is that they bake it.
Okay.
But they layer it. And it's one of our fastest selling things, that mac and cheese. I don't even have a clue about the recipe. It is.
And you know, you don't make it at all?
I don't touch it at all.
He leaves it to them.
So before Anthony's next question, 410-319-8888.
I got lots of questions.
What is your mac and cheese recipe? I want to hear what your mac and cheese recipes or questions about their mac and cheese recipes or hear Anthony's mac and cheese recipe. 410-319-8888. I don't really have one.
You don't?
I've not made mac and cheese, no.
Yeah.
I don't have mac and cheese.
My Aunt Loretta, we called her Nudie. My Aunt Nudie taught us how to make it, taught all the boys how to make it, because she said it's a hearty dish that once you make it, you don't need to make anything else for the week. You can eat that mac and cheese
over and over
again, heat it up.
Entire week,
and we only use specific Velveeta and things like that. But anyway,
Velveeta.
Go ahead, Mark. Yes,
oh man,
it's a combination. They say they charge more for it, but it's the cheapest cheese in the world.
Cheese.
That's right. It's not even real.
Cheese.
But it sure does taste good. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. I want to hear what you were gonna ask next.
I
want to get to dessert recipes.
Yeah.
In a
How about bread? And
bread.
Yeah, bread. And I know that we're trying as a society to move away from all of the bread, but at Thanksgiving, my Aunt Loretta's rolls, we didn't have biscuits. We had rolls that were just dripping. She baked them in butter. They came out golden brown. They were so soft, but she put a lot of sugar in them, a lot of cream in the recipe. They were the sweetest, most delicious breads, and then you throw margarine on top of it. You were in absolute carb heaven.
Yes.
Absolute carb heaven.
Sounds like it.
So real quick, if we could run, because we're running out of time, I do want us to go real through quickly and talk about special dishes. But what about breads? Is it necessary for you all? I know it's at your restaurant.
Yeah. We make everything from scratch pretty much. So, mm-hmm. For this season, just for this week, we have, caramelized onion and cranberry sourdough biscuits that we're topping off with, cream spinach. And they come with sweet potato and Brussels sprout hash that's been tossed together with, roasted garlic. But that's just, an appetizer. And then for, lunch, we have, an espresso caraway seed pumpernickel that we made. And then, basically, we toast that up. Yeah, it's really good pumpernickel.
Mm-hmm.
And, we top that off with tofurkey, mashed potatoes, and butternut squash gravy. You might shake your head, man, but it's
good.
Awesome.
Chef Donovan, what about your breads?
We have a favorite, the coca bread, which is it's a white bread. But the good thing is you put it together and you put margarine in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
So once you have the margarine in the middle, you can open it again.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a sweet bread, but it's to die for.
And you can put anything on it.
Anything on it or anything in it.
In it, yeah. Chef Mac.
Chef Mac?
We do cornbread, homemade cornbread at our yes. So we serve cornbread every time you sit down. We bring the cornbread out with the butter.
Go ahead, Mark.
So what, man?
No, I was going to say, we're running out of time. We're running out of time, so my mouth is watering. So I wanted to, do we have a call?
We have a call.
Let's take a call, and then let's wrap up with the chef sharing one of their favorite dishes.
We'll do that. And Laura Perkins wrote in on the Markstown Facebook page. Mm-hmm. She says, faux turkey? As a vegetarian, I'm telling you, just to have something else for Thanksgiving, getting away from traditional foods can be liberating. I don't think Anthony agrees, but that's all right.
I appreciate it.
410-319-8888. I do too. Phyllis in Pikesville, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you all tonight?
Hi, Phyllis.
Well, Phyllis, welcome.
I've been listening, and I just want to share this ingredient that I add to my macaroni and cheese, and I actually got it from friends who are from Bermuda. And, of course, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving because it's an American holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But they taught me to add cream of mushroom to the macaroni and cheese.
Hmm.
And it really does kick it up a notch. So now every year when I make it, I add the cream of mushroom soup. And my family is always, glad that we added that additional ingredient.
Hmm.
So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much, Phyllis.
I apologize.
Let's add a piece. That wasn't Anthony's comment.
It wasn't. I promise. It sounded good. I've had this horrible throat thing going on. Anyway.
So you have questions about dessert, Anthony.
Yeah. What is the favorite? What's the popular dessert at your restaurant? Something unusual. We know there's pumpkin pie. We know there's all kinds of traditional desserts. But what's different and exciting that we could get on our table if we came to your restaurant?
Our most popular item right now is a grilled pumpkin pie. It's basically like a blend of grilled butternut squash, pumpkin, grilled pumpkin, and basically blend that up, bake into a pie, and that comes with a brown butter gelato. We make all our own ice creams.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
So we all make our own vegan ice creams.
Did you say brown butter gelato?
Brown butter gelato. Vegan.
Okay, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Great Sage sooner than you think. Donovan?
Stephanie's taking you, but you better take
That's
your
right.
car.
That's right.
You might not get the otherwise.
Chef Donovan?
We have our popular rum cake.
Rum cake,
We
yes.
use it for Christmas. And if you get that with some ice cream, it's to die for because you have that little hit of rum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's to die for.
And is it real thick? Is it dense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I've had
thick.
That before.
Yes.
It's delicious. How about you, Chef Mac?
Well, we do a homemade bread pudding. We do homemade cobblers, apple, and peach.
Mm.
We do the biscuit toppings for the cobbler.
I like to use Danish. It's like leftover Danishes and stuff for my bread pudding. And sometimes I put a little bit of Hennessy in it, but I don't like to do that too often because we usually like sell out of that stuff.
It comes popular really quick.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, that's our dessert, and we do everything homemade. So.
That sounds. Now, what I want to ask real quick, and then we'll let Mark wrap this up because I'm so controlling sometimes. When we watch a lot of the chefs have become the new celebrities, and I have watched every season of Top Chef. I am on the website constantly blasting them.
You're
criticizing
my daughter,
them.
Chelsea.
That's right. I'm going after the judges when they take out my favorite chef. But a lot of chefs criticize shows like that because they say it takes away from the actual craft. And for people to understand, when you say, oh, we're going to give you these three ingredients and we're giving you 30 seconds to create something, it really does take away from the artisticness and the craft. What do you all think about?
I wouldn't agree with that because these chefs online know when you go for a chef's job, that's what you do. You go and you get a chef basket and you have to create. I mean, if they give you four items and they say, I want you to create four different meals with this.
Wow.
That's what you do. I mean, so the concept is there. I mean, it's just all the other stuff that goes along with it. It's like, hold up. Someone come in my kitchen like that, you're going to have a big problem.
And I love the whole world of that, too. I mean, just all and the studio and men and women who are in this craft are all referred to as chef.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it.
Me, too.
And this is a bit
something classy about it.
It is good.
This morning I got a call from a young lady. She said, I'm actually friends with one of your cook. And I said, ma'am, what? I said, I don't think he'd be happy hearing you call him a cook.
That's right.
So this has been wonderful. And I just want to say thanks to everybody who came here today. And Anthony for really throwing down here on this show. On both hours, it's been great to have you here, Anthony.
It's always great to be with you, Mark.
We just got a call lauding Great Sage again, to let you know that came up just a moment ago. Chef Adam Pierce has been with us, executive chef at Great Sage in Clarksville. Chef Mac joins us, owner of Chef Mac's and All That Blues in Hamilton. And Chef Donovan Murphy, owner of Island Cuisine, both men who support the station a great deal with their food and their efforts. We want to thank them for that as well. And we'll have links to all these restaurants on our website afterwards. And don't make a mistake, hit all these three places and enjoy some really interesting and different cuisine. A little Louisiana.
That's right.
Caribbean. A little save that meat for another day. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank
great
you
to
very
have
much.
You.
My pleasure.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner.
And Anthony McCarthy.
Anthony McCarthy?
Great to be here. I'm excited about this show.
So am I. So
you know, we're foodies. We love good
yes,
food.
Yes, we are. So we have, so if you're still online getting ready to talk about the Middle East, unless it's a Middle East recipe, we're not going there.
Or if it was a great conversation.
Or if it's about Hostess Twinkies.
That's right.
It's a recipe we don't want to talk about. So we have with us in the studio Adam Pierce, who's executive chef at the Great Sage in Clarksville, Maryland, which is a vegetarian, but you corrected me, it is a...
It's a vegan restaurant.
A vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
And Donovan Murphy's with us, owner of Island Cuisine, and it's Caribbean food.
Caribbean.
Ah, sounds good to me. Mm. And that's right, we've had your food.
We've had his food doing membership drives and other events. He's cooked for us in one of our dinners, Mark.
Exactly.
That's right.
As has Chef Mac, who joins us by phone.
That's right.
Owner of Chef Mac's and All That Blues in Hamilton. Chef Mac, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be with you.
I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
Taking a little break from it. It's great to have you here. So all you can join us here, 410-319-8888. Are you cooking this holiday? Or are you just eating it?
You know, I spend every Thanksgiving up in Park Heights at I Can't Weekend.
Oh, that's right.
They serve the community there, and for the last 5 years, I've had the honor of being a part of that group of folks who reaches out, serves, and so Israel Quezon does most of the cooking. I do most of the eating and serving.
You gotta eat the people's food.
No, we cook a lot. We cook a lot of food. There's plenty.
So, are any of your restaurants open on Thanksgiving Day?
Island Cuisine, the one on Liberty Road, will be open for half day just for pickup. Right now, we're booked with people asking for catering that day. We're booked,
wow.
Totally booked.
Really?
Yes.
We're closed for the holiday, but
yeah, so
we've been pushing specials all week. So,
let's begin this. Let's talk about what's the centerpiece of your Thanksgiving dinner, and. What's the centerpiece of your Thanksgiving dinner, and how do you make it, Chef Mac?
Well, my Thanksgiving dinner this year is traditional, and we added the prime rib, bone-in prime rib.
Prime rib on Thanksgiving?
And, we use a 109 prime rib. We get that done, and I go back to like my grandmother type thing. I do the mashed potatoes, yams, the collard greens. Sometimes we do a mixture of collard, mustard, and kale, and with a potato salad, green bean casserole, the cornbread stuffing with giblets and all kinds of gravy, and with the nice salads, the sweet pea salad with the bacon and cheese and everything mixed in and on top. So we go really traditional at my place.
Sounds very traditional.
It sounds very good.
Now, if Great Sage was cooking this, my guess is that...
I'm very curious about
bacon
this.
Bacon would be missing.
Giblets would be missing.
The butter would be missing.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean... it's pretty good. This year we got it's basically a phyllo crisp with shaved seitan, which is basically comprised of like Vita Wheat gluten, so it's like really high in protein, commonly known as like wheat meat. But we make our own recipe from scratch. So, I mean, we build our own flavor profile with it, and then we shave that up, and then lay that on mashed potatoes, and then caramelized onions, and then a brandy sauce. And then we roll that in phyllo and crisp it on a griddle. Mm. So you get a nice, like, flaky pastry on the outside. Mm. And then on the inside is basically, your entire meal plan. And then we also serve that with a side of grilled vegetable terrine, zucchinis, eggplants. Grill those up with portobellos, red peppers, and layer that down, press it for a night. So it cuts out, roast it off, and you got like basically a vegetable lasagna. And then that comes with a butternut squash gravy and a fresh cranberry salsa.
Mm. Mm. What's wrong with that?
It sounds good.
Come on, vegetarians come in, you got to take on Anthony McCarthy. Deal with him.
No, I'm sure that the flavor profile sounds good. I'm just wondering
Have you eaten the Land of Kush?
I have. You've taken me
there.
Do
you like that food?
Yes.
That's vegan, is it not?
Yeah.
And it's really good. You don't like
it? It's delicious. You take me there, yes.
Right.
And I do. But I'm a traditionalist, and we'll let him talk about what the Caribbean food. But then we'll talk about tradition.
We'll come back to tradition in a minute. A Caribbean Thanksgiving.
Last year we had a lot of requests for our jerk chicken. Mm. And a lot of customers brought in their turkey for us to jerk it. And all we do we make it. The season and marinade for days. So the entire chicken or the turkey will have the Caribbean flavor. How we do it is the jerk chicken is made from a lot of our own urban spices. It comes all the way from Jamaica. And when we do it, we put it in some jerk. As you speak of the brand of sauce, we use our Jamaican Red Stripe beer. And we season it.
I like that.
Yeah. Our fresh garlic, fresh onion, sweet pepper, green pepper, and our own. We make some pepper. We call it Scotch bonnet pepper. That is what brings out the flavor. And it sits there for days. Then we put it on the grill because it's cold now. Most places won't use a grill. We have one of those big jump pans that we put it on, and it sits there for like 45 minutes to smoke and taking all that smoke. And then when we're done with that, then we put a little more heat under it, and then we jerk that chicken or that turkey. And that's the big request for this Thanksgiving.
So how many turkeys have you jerked?
We can do about 15. We can do about 15 of them. But chicken, sometimes we do 100 pounds. It's a lot.
So people can bring their turkey to you and have, not this year, it's too late now. But
it's too late, yeah.
No last minute calls?
No last minute calls. We have a lot right now. A lot of requests.
So what were you going to say about traditional Thanksgiving?
In my family, Thanksgiving is probably the most important holiday as far as bringing people together. And growing up in a Southern African-American family, there were just staples.
Like?
Now, the idea of vegan. I can imagine trying to explain this to my grandmother about a vegan Thanksgiving. But I will tell you, Mark, the fascinating thing about my family in Virginia, and it's huge. I mean, some of my uncles had 15 and 20 children, and so I have lots of cousins, and we all come together. It was amazing to watch at those holidays times when the family did all come back to Virginia, the things that people do with pork and pig. Anything you can imagine is done, and it's absolutely delicious. The chicken, but the most obvious, the big centerpiece was that turkey. And my grandmother had a way of creating that stuffing that she put in, of crisping that skin. And it was so traditional that even as we've tried to become more healthy, Thanksgiving becomes a holiday of indulgence because of it being a tradition of sitting around, watching football, eating this good food, and eating more than you actually should eat, indulging yourself at a point. Now, I have tried to eat more healthy. I can't imagine ever becoming a vegetarian or a vegan, but I definitely see a lot of my friends moving in that way. But there is no way we could ever call a vegan Thanksgiving traditional. Not in this country, anyway. I mean, in my mind, but traditions change. And we create new traditions. So it'd be very interesting. I'm going to make sure that I experience this restaurant.
You know, interestingly, there have been a lot of requests for vegan and vegetarian meals. So we've expanded our menu at Island Cuisine, and we have about 15 vegan and vegetarian dishes now. It's become a big request.
Yes, we do the same at Chef Max. Everything on our menu, it's available with, we use seitan, tempeh, smoked tofu, so everything on our menu, we do. We did the vegan festival, and I'll tell you, our vegan jambalaya, we sold out of it.
Now, what's in a vegan jambalaya?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we did a vegan jambalaya with tofurkey and seitan, and it was excellent. I mean, and like Anthony, you can come to my restaurant sometime. We have these guys come in. Oh, what was that? Oh, that was... You know, their wives are like, oh, you're a vegetarian now. But it's really good that, you know, the chefs know what he's doing with the product. So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, so, folks, I want the phones to ring at 410-319-8888. I want to know how you do your sweets. I want to ask questions of our guests about how they
do their
cooking.
That's important.
To see if you can share some of your recipes and have questions of our guest chefs about how they cook their sweet potatoes. Whatever it is that people are going to make on that plate this Thanksgiving. And also, there's one question about Baltimore that always intrigues me. No matter what culture in the city exists, sauerkraut is on the menu. What is it about Baltimore and sauerkraut? I don't care if it's... I don't care if it's a soul food
you go.
Dinner in the black community. I don't care if it's a Jewish dinner Thanksgiving. I don't care if it's a... everybody makes sauerkraut and has different ways of making... Sure. What is it about Baltimore and sauerkraut?
I don't know. I guess the Reuben's just popular.
I don't know. I'm not from Baltimore, but I would love to know the answer to that question.
So I'm curious about sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes.
All right, go ahead.
And the different ways that those can be prepared. People are always looking for something different. and a new flavor sensation in their cooking. I was watching. I'm addicted to the Food Channel, and I was watching, and someone used seaweed to season their mashed potatoes. And the natural saltiness and the flavor of the seaweed mixed in with the potatoes gave it such a unique flavor, at least according to the people that were eating it on the television. Mm-hmm. So tell me, all of you share with us how you treat potatoes, traditional potatoes, sweet potatoes, which are a part of many people's Thanksgiving dinner.
Chef Adam, why don't you start with your...
Okay, well, my potatoes, I'll give away my secret.
It's fine.
Chef Mac, go ahead.
I only use orange juice, cinnamon, and vanilla, and sugar. No water, so I just let everything cook in together, and sometimes I add garlic. Sweet potatoes with garlic, but the flavor that, you know, you get with those two combinations, with the sweetness and the citric acid from the orange juice, it's amazing. So, and then, you know, we just cook that up, throw it in the oven, put a little crisp on top. Excellent.
Wow. You use no butter?
No butter.
Wow.
It's healthy.
So say it again. So what portions do you use?
Portions?
Uh-huh.
To a pound of potatoes, I use an 8-ounce cup of orange juice. I use 2 cups of sugar. I use 2 tablespoons of vanilla, and I just do the cinnamon to spice and a couple whole cloves of garlic. They can smash, dice real fine, put it in, and I also leave my potatoes about a 1/2 inch thick. So the cooking process, I cook really fast, so my cooking process is really fast, so you won't have your potatoes large enough so they won't break up and be mush.
So you don't mash them?
No, don't mash them.
You don't mash them?
No, I leave mine, you know, just like they are cooked.
That's interesting.
And what about in the vegan style? Well, that could almost be vegan, actually.
Yeah.
It is. Vegan, because there's no butter.
There's no butter.
It is vegan.
There you are, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. We do sweet potatoes a couple of different ways. Traditionally, in the past, we've done, like, twice-baked sweet potatoes, where basically we'll take a sweet potato, cut it in half, and then, like, hollow it out. And then take all that and boil that off, and then roast off the potato skins, just like you would do, like, potato skins, you know, cheese, bacon. And then once your sweet potatoes are done boiling, mash those up with, like, some brown sugar, salt, pepper, so it's, like, sweet and salty. And then you pipe those into the roasted-off skins and then bake that again so you get a nice crust over top, and it's nice and, like, just soft, sweet, salty sweet potato on the inside. It's awesome.
That sounds delicious.
Interestingly, we do it because we're trying to stay away. We're trying to cook healthier. We try to stay away from as much sugar as we possibly can. So we use a honey replacement because the potato itself is naturally sweet. So we do like in the pot and just put the honey on the top. We use the vanilla, but we use heavy cream to replace the butter. So once we mix the honey with the heavy cream, it gives a very, very good flavor. No garlic.
No garlic.
No.
I do put garlic.
I do put garlic
in my sweets and in my mashed potatoes always.
Yeah.
So I also like to make purple mashed potatoes.
Really?
The purple potato. I love
purple
potatoes.
Oh, they're delicious, yeah.
And I mix them up with, I cook them all the time, like usually with a salmon dinner or something. And I do use butter. I'll try it next time without butter and see what it's like. I will. I'll try with
the honey.
Yeah, you can add a little extra virgin olive oil. It does the trick.
The virgin olive oil is good. Yeah.
What about the idea? A lot of families use, I can hear you all laughing at me right now, use marshmallow topping on their sweet potato.
That's so bad.
I hate that.
That's awful.
I love it. Oh, my God.
And a lot of people do make it.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
They do. That's,
and I wouldn't eat it if people weren't making it for me.
If somebody had that, I would eat it, and I probably would enjoy it. But, you know,
it's
don't.
It's bad for you. You're right.
You know, we don't want to talk about where marshmallows can come from.
Good point.
Right.
410-319-8888. Tell us about your recipes. Talk to us about sauerkraut. Talk to us about how you make your sweets. How do you do your greens? We had a huge debate on cooking greens last time. We're going to get to the greens in a minute. And how you cook your collards or kale on a holiday. We all have our own way. What are your 410-319-8888? Emily, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
The panel. You all are making me hungry talking about...
I'm starving.
I wanted to make a comment about the sauerkraut. I had the same question. I'm from the Midwest, and when I came to Baltimore, the sauerkraut was the big deal. And as I researched it, I found that German was almost the national language on the East Coast at one point.
That's right.
So the sauerkraut is a great German influence on the Baltimore area and actually the whole East Coast. That's where the sauerkraut, and of course, down home, they put the pigtails in it and whatnot have you, but we don't do the sauerkraut. We just work with the greens, with the turkey meat, and that's really good with the smoked turkey, and mm-hmm. you boil them down, and then you cook your clean greens, put them in there, and steam them down. As soon as you steam them down, they don't need a whole lot of boiling and cooking and cooking. Fresh greens, you know, cook pretty quickly.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Your greens, but for those folks who like sauerkraut, that's the German influence.
You're absolutely right, and that is Baltimore was a very German city, and every ethnic population picked up the sauerkraut. Everybody picked up the sauerkraut. There's own little twist inside of them.
Yeah, like I was somewhere recently, Mark, where they
thank you, Emily. I was really appreciated that.
Where they use the sauerkraut, but they also dice up like pig snout and pigtail and some other things and put in the sauerkraut.
Other things you said.
Things I don't really want to know about. But boy, they were delicious with mm-hmm. that sauerkraut. It was delicious. Sauerkraut seems like a mainstay.
I love sauerkraut.
On plates, yeah. On sauerkraut. Tables here in Baltimore. Mm.
Yeah. I said, you're a Virginia boy.
I'm a Virginia boy. But I learned real early how to cook greens, how to cook collards. My grandmother was, she just insisted that we all learn how to do all that.
Let's do this. Let's get another phone call here, 410-319-8888. Then let's talk about our greens.
Okay.
How we cook our greens. But Kevin in Owings Mills, you're on the air. Hi, Kevin, you're on the air.
You guys are making me hungry.
I know, man. I'm starving. I know what. I have this beautiful grass-fed steak in my refrigerator, and I'm going to eat. I'm really hungry. Hey. Babe, go ahead.
I got something for you guys. I do a lump crab stuff, turkey stuffing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, how do you do that? Tell us about
it. Don't knock it till you try it.
No. What do you do with it? How do you make what?
You make it the regular old-fashioned way with the breadcrumbs, a little bit of eggs. I got a couple little secret things I throw in there, but one more. You get the texture with the breadcrumbs and just treat it like anything else. You stuff it in. You don't have to season the lump crab because the seasoning from the turkey on that lump crab meat, I'm telling you right now,
wow,
you're going to slap somebody.
Now, that's that's got to be a Maryland thing.
That has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a family thing.
I lived a long time in the Midwest, and we do a seafood dressing. And I just did one the other night at the restaurant on the buffet. And
I also do a bread pudding with donuts. I use the Krispy Kreme donut.
Continue.
I'm telling you, man. All right.
Thank you,
Krispy Kreme right. stuffing.
I don't want a Krispy Kreme stuffing.
Mark, come on. Now, don't knock it. Krispy Kreme donuts cut, chopped up, and put in your stuffing. That savory and that sweet together, I'm getting some funny looks in here. Yeah. I'm trying to go along with the call.
I don't see even Chef Donovan's not agreeing with you. I don't think Chef Matt's not agreeing.
I'm going to give up on that.
What
but how,
like
yeah, how Chef, do you all prepare your greens? I'd be very interested in hearing how this is done.
And T, hold on. We're going to come to you and your question, your comment about sauerkraut. But let's comment about sauerkraut, and then we'll jump right into the greens. 410-319-8888. T, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, T.
I'm calling about sauerkraut.
All right.
We had a priest, Father John Delclose. He's been deceased now for about 6 or so years. But he made the best sauerkraut. He put spare ribs, apples, and pears.
Mm.
And he said he cooked it for 8 hours.
Mm.
The best sauerkraut you ever want to taste.
Do you make it now?
No, I did it one time, but I don't do it. My mother makes it with the pigtails.
Mm, yep, pigtails.
Pigtails. That's how we do it.
That's traditional, but I like it. That is traditional.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, baby. Thanksgiving. So, by the way, a little comment for Anthony here I'm going to read. Where is it? It is right here. My producer, Stephanie, says she is going to take Anthony on a date to Great Sage. to show him how good vegan fare can
be. It's a date. All right? It's a date.
All right, there you
I'm
go.
Very open-minded. I'm very open-minded.
So, greens. How do we do our greens? Chef Mac?
Okay, I start out with the stock. So I make a vegetable stock, actually. And then I after I make my stock, I saute my onions, my garlic, and I add that to my stock. I bring that to a boil, and that's when I add my greens. And then once I add my greens, I throw my little Cajun spice in it with a little red crushed pepper.
Yeah.
It boils. I turn it off, and it's done.
That's it?
That's it.
How long do you cook the greens?
Well, it all depends. If I'm cooking a case of greens, it's going to take 30 minutes to be done. And I cook a case at a time because we use all fresh products. So we'll use a case of greens. I think it's like an 8-gallon pot we put in. We put in probably 1.5 gallons of water. And we use probably about 3 large yellow onions, about a handful of garlic cloves, a couple teaspoons of red crushed pepper. And the Cajun spice, you just got to, like, play around with that.
Not going to give that up.
Yeah, because a lot of people, oh, God, these are hot. But, you know, I like hot and spicy.
Well, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah, we got a couple different ways we, you know, deal with green vegetables for, like, our leafy guys. We, you know, start off with, like, a really, like, herbaceous, spiced, like, vegetable stock. You know, we use, I think, like, up to, like, 8 different spices in our vegetable stock, ranging from, like, peppercorns to star anise, fennel, just to get, like, really, really good aromatics going. And then we'll just simply saute up some garlic and some olive oil until it starts toasting, and then throw in our leafy greens, you know, with, like, collard greens. It'll take a little bit longer to cook. They're a lot, like, hardier than, like, a Hanover green, which is more like a, it's kind of, like, lighter than spinach. But we basically will deglaze with, like, a little bit of the vegetable stock as soon as the garlic's, like, really aromatic. And just simmer that until, you know, they're proper doneness. Season them up with just a little bit of salt and pepper, and they're good to go. But if we're doing, like, more of a hearty green vegetable, like your Brussels sprout or your, you know, green beans, we basically will boil, like, highly salty solution, dump all the greens in there, let them go for, like, maybe 15, 20 seconds just till they become, like, really vibrant green, and then we shock them in an ice water bath. And then strain those out. And then we do a similar cooking technique, you know, with your sauteed garlic. Throw your greens in there, get a caramelization going, get them nice and toasty, and then deglaze with the veg stock. Salt, pepper, cook them to proper doneness. Good, crisp, fresh greens.
We have one green to replace all them greens. And it's called callaloo.
This is it.
It's called callaloo. What we do, callaloo is like a, like spinach. And the way we prepare that, we use a virgin olive oil. Put a little garlic in there to let it give it its flavor. But when the garlic is turning brown, we remove that from there. Then we add some onions. When it starts caramelizing, then we add our green pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper, our tomatoes. Let all of that come and give it a nice flavor. Then we add the callaloo in there with some tomatoes as well before we add the callaloo. And we let this cook for like 5 minutes. It gives us a very, very delicious taste. It's something you want to fight for.
So I'm fascinated by the tomatoes.
Yes.
In your greens.
Yes.
Now, I've never had greens in my, I mean, tomatoes in my greens. Greens in my tomatoes. that sounds interesting. I think I may try that. That sounds interesting.
You got to dice it real in small dices.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you do your greens the old-fashioned way?
Well, I'm not sure if it's the old-fashioned way. It's what my grandmother taught me. Well, and we use turkey neck. Sometimes we use some smoked chicken. And obviously there's got to be some pork thrown up in there every now and then as well. And we let them cook.
That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, all this short cooking and quick cook, we let them cook. Those things are
cooking everything out of the green.
And you know you're 100% right, and I think that's why we over-season them.
Yes.
Because we're cooking all those natural flavors out. Right, but now, it's just the way I was taught. Just cook them and keep them cooking.
I would take the greens and I parboil them just like that quickly. Quickly after I wash them really well, obviously. And then I throw them in a big frying pan and stir fry them up with garlic, some onions, and I put some of the seasonings I like really, really well in it, and just let the flavor come out and then serve them like that. So they're a little crisper. And sometimes you want to take, we make them like chips, you know, just throw them in the oven put garlic and salt on top of it, throw it in the oven, kale and collards, and they become these chips that are just just so good.
Yeah.
But I want to ask Chef Mac to kind of repeat, and all of you, I think we're getting
ready.
Well,
we have to take a break.
Yeah, we've got to take a break.
And we'll come right back. Mm-hmm. And you can ask, and Lisa, we'll come right to you.
That's right.
She has something to talk to us about that sounds interesting. Don't go away. 410-319-8888. Stay with us.